Today, I believe we're in a special moment today. A moment where God wants to stabilize your identity in this house. See, we have to understand something, that you can't earn who you already are. So God has called you. God has given you your identity. But some of us have been drawing from the wrong source. See, there's nothing that's more disorienting than living without an internal anchor. Today's title of the message is Anchored from Within. See, you don't need more activity in your life. You definitely don't need more visibility. You don't need more people clapping for you. Let me tell you something about applause. You cannot allow the applauses of men to move you. Because when the silence comes, it will destroy you. Short side story, I remember like about three years ago when I first started preaching, I preached a really good message and the crowd was roaring. And I was like, oh man, yeah, I'm a good preacher, you know. And I remember like even thinking in my mind, like, man, nobody could preach like me. And I remember thinking that. And the next week, I remember I was all motivated that week. And it was one of the few times I ever got to preach 2 weeks in a row. And I studied and I studied and I preached my heart out and it was just quiet. And I remember feeling that like I didn't do a good job. But God told me that the applause of men can't move you. You can't allow people's applause to affirm you. You can't allow what people say about you to affirm you. And it was a lesson that I learned that day. I preach for God and that's it. I preach to you guys, but I'm preaching to me first of all, but I'm preaching for the Lord, hallelujah. So I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I will not allow your applauses to move me. Hallelujah. Understand that I'm working for the Lord. See, and we need our identity to settle. Because when identity is not anchored within, everything outside becomes loud. Opinions, voices, and opinions start to carry weight that they were never meant to carry in your life. Reactions of people start to feel personal, even when they're not. And approval starts feeling necessary just to breathe. But when identity is anchored in the Holy Spirit, and you are who God says you are, external voices lose their authority. And no matter matters what other people think, you stop living like you need permission to exist. And this today, this isn't a confidence trick, and this isn't self-esteem with Bible verses on it. No, what the day is an opportunity to get transformed at the root of what you believe about yourself. So this morning, I challenge you to allow God to re-anchor you from within. We have to understand that our identity is under pressure in the world. See, identity will really collapse during a disaster, but it erodes slowly under pressure. Pressure of what? Pressure to perform, pressure to prove, pressure to stay impressive, maybe pressure to be right. Maybe it's the pressure not just to be wrong. Pressure to look strong, or maybe not to look weak. What about pressure to be seen as valuable? See, when identity is not anchored in God, pressure will begin to push you into roles that were never assigned to you. And you'll have to start living responsible to maintain that version of yourself. And that maintenance will become your prison. And you'll never be able to get out of it because you'll always be dependent on other people to open the door for you. I believe there's five ways that identity shows up spiritually when it's unstable. And it's through performance. When you feel like you have to earn everything. Comparison. When your value is always measured against somebody else. Control, where security must be managed. You got to micromanage everything. You got to have your finger on something. You got to be in charge. And approval, where your peace has to be confirmed by someone else, whatever someone else thinks. And then through resistance, where correction, guidance feels threatening. See, and this system works best on religious people. Because religion in itself can become a way that you build your identity without ever surrendering your identity. And today we're going to learn about Saul. Saul to Paul. See, Saul starts as a high performer. A man who believes that his intensity and what he does is the proof that he's right. See, in Acts 9, we're going to be coming to Acts 9 today, so if you guys got your Bibles, get prepared there. Acts 9 shows us what happens when God interrupts a man whose entire identity is built on strength, who's a man whose entire identity is built on certainty, whose a man's identity is built on reputation. Before we get to Acts 9, though, we have to understand who Saul believed himself to be. And today, try to understand who you believe yourself to be and where is the source of it coming from. See, Saul is a Pharisee trained under Gamaliel. And this is the thing. In Scripture, he says he's a Hebrew among Hebrews, a Jew among Jews. See, Saul is respected, educated, and recognized. And his identity was built on being right, on being devoted, on being a Pharisee, on being obedient, on being the kind of man that people notice. See, we have to understand that Saul does not doubt God in this. He believes he's representing God. But when your identity is anchored in performance, correction feels dangerous, and humility can feel optional. But we have to understand that Saul's confidence was real. It was a real confidence. Today, some of us have real confidence, but it's misaligned. See, it has power, but it does not have surrender. So God's going to show us how he dismantles a false anchor without destroying the man. And when we get into chapter 9 of Acts, let's see how we got there. Before we get there, the church has been born again, alive, in fire. In Acts 1, Jesus ascends and he promises power. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit falls on the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches boldly to 3,000 and they were saved in a single day. And the church becomes no longer an idea, but it is alive. Hallelujah. In Acts 3 to 5, miracles begin to break out and the lame walk. The apostles preach in the street and opposition rises. Peter and John get arrested. But persecution begins to make the church louder even. By Acts 6 and Acts 7, Stephen becomes the first martyr. And as stones fall on his body, he sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And there's a young man there who's holding the coats of those who were once holding stones as they kill him. And it was a Pharisee named Saul. See, Acts 8 tells us that persecution scatters believers everywhere. But instead of silencing them, it multiplies the gospel. It's kind of strange. Philip preaches in Samaria. The Ethiopian eunuch is saved. And the word begins to spread beyond Jerusalem. And now we arrive to Acts 9. We're all caught up. Hallelujah. The church is growing. The gospel is moving. And the greatest enemy of the movement now is breathing threats and murder. See, Saul, remember this. Saul believes he's defending God. But God is about to interrupt him. Hallelujah. And that's where we step in. And my first point is performance-based identity creates false certainty. We'll start in Acts 9. Go from 1 to 2. Begin reading now. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul is breathing threats and murder. The Bible is very intentional about the language that it uses. So when we read this, we have to understand the language. It's using certain language. Breath is what happens when you're alive. It's automatic. It's something that's not scheduled. It's what comes out of you because that's what God breathed into you. Breath, right? It's what happens because it's what's inside of you. See, Scripture is showing us that this is not a momentary flare-up, that this is a life source for Saul, that this is what he's fueled by, this is what he's living on. Because whatever fills you becomes what spills from you. I'll tell you a story. I'm going to have a couple of these sidetracks. There's a man going into a store and a man coming out of the store. They bump into each other. The man going out of the store spills coffee on the man's shirt. Why does the man that's coming in now have coffee on his shirt? Anybody know? Because that's what was inside the cup when the man spilled into him. He bumped into him. So some of you are bumping into things and things are coming out of you and you're wondering, well, why is that coming out of me? Well, I'm here today to tell you that that's inside of you. I don't care if you just stubbed your toe and you say, oh, I just stubbed my toe. That's not inside of me. If it's coming out of you, guess what? I'm sorry to tell you, but it's inside of you. When that person's cutting you off and you start going off, guess what? That's still inside of you. Because out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to make excuses and you don't want to recognize what God is showing you, what God's allowing to come up to the surface, you can do that. But when it comes up, you can still have an opportunity to recognize it. Let it humble you and repent and keep moving. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't just say that's because of that. No, if it's coming out of you, it had to have been inside you. Some people, they breathe worry. They don't mean to, but it's inside of them. Some people, they breathe offense. They don't mean to, but it's inside of them. Some people, they breathe control. They can't relax unless they're managing something. Some people, they breathe comparison. They can't enjoy their own life even because they're so concerned worrying about Sister Watermelon's life. And Saul is breathing threats because his intensity has become his identity. Conflict has become his oxygen. And being right has become his security. You ever met somebody that has to be right? Like, you can look it up if you want to. I'll pull it up on my phone right now and I'll prove it to you. You know, let me tell you something. This is another little sidetrack. There's something about being right all the time. Guess what? You could be right and still be wrong. Well, what do you mean? Well, sometimes, you know, I used to mistake people's silence for an agreement before when I would say things. And sometimes they didn't correct me. They just were silent and gave me mercy and allowed me to figure it out on my own. Sometimes you don't got to prove yourself to be right because you would rather be effective in life. I would rather be effective than be right. Sometimes I just got to stand back a little bit and just let them figure it out on their own than rather just to prove myself to be right because it makes me feel good. I don't care about being right. I'll apologize when it's not even my fault if I have to. I want to be effective. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 2 what it says. And asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus. Letters. See, these letters were extradition authorizations. They much functioned like a legal warrant would today. They would grant Saul the permission to identify followers of the way, to arrest them and to transport them back to Jerusalem for trial. And why does this matter? Because it shows us that Saul was seeking authorization, that he was seeking validation, an institutional permission to be the person that he believes himself to be. And that's what we have to understand about performance-based identity. It always reaches for credentials. It always reaches for a stamp of approval, a nod. It reaches for a title and a position. It reaches for a letter that says that I'm legitimate. Hallelujah. Because when identity is not settled within, recognition becomes the proof. And when recognition becomes your proof, you become addicted to being affirmed. See, Saul believes his certainty proves that he's right. But I'm telling you, certainty without surrender is dangerous. Oh, yeah. See, you can be convinced. Have you ever met someone that was convinced they was right, but you knew they was wrong? You could be convinced and still be wrong. Hallelujah. You can be intense and still be misaligned. And you could be passionate and still be unsubmitted. Here's the revelation, that confidence is not the same as anchoring. That your intensity is not the same as your identity. And that your effectiveness in this world is not the same as approval from our Father in heaven. See, being bold does not automatically mean that you're rooted. And being busy does not mean that you're automatically called. And when your worth is tied to performance, a disagreement starts to feel like rejection. And opposition will feel personal because your identity is sitting on what you do. And what people think about it. What can we do? We have to ask ourselves honestly, Where have you been pulling for your identity from output instead of God's voice? Where have you been measuring your worth by accomplishment instead of adoption? Hear that again, by accomplishment instead of adoption, because sometimes you guys aren't battling temptation. What you're battling is striving. You're driven, but you're not settled. You're active, but you're not anchored. You're faithful, but you're internally feeling anxious because your soul is waiting on permission to feel secure. And understand what I'm saying, that God is not rebuking your passion. He's not criticizing your effort. But he's confronting your foundation because God loves you too much to let you build yourself on a life or a version of yourself that has to be maintained by everybody else. He wants to anchor you deeply with the Holy Spirit. So even when you're not performing, you still know who you are. Even when you're not getting the promotion, you still know who you are. Even when you don't get the title, you still know who you are. When you don't get the job, you still know who you are. Hallelujah. I'm talking about you know who you are no matter what anybody says. I know who I am. You can't tell me who I am because I know who I am. Hallelujah. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost. I love it. When God confronts your identity, he doesn't debate with you. God interrupts you. Hallelujah. My second point is God disrupts false identity before he reveals your true identity. Hallelujah. 3-4 in Acts 9. Here we go. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul is knocked to the ground. Some of you are getting knocked to the ground, and you're wondering why. And it's not because God is angry. No, it's because you are, Saul, our person, is anchored to the wrong source. Hallelujah. Sometimes God has to knock you down a little bit. See, he's knocked to the ground, not because God is throwing anger, but he's interrupting what a man, when they're anchored to the wrong source, when he's anchored to what everybody else thinks. See, Saul had authority with people and around people and from people. He had zeal from religion and a certainty in his own righteousness, and he was still disconnected from the voice of Jesus. So God just doesn't correct Saul's behavior. He collapses the foundation that it was built upon. See, that ground moment, your ground moment is mercy from God. Because God stopped Saul. God is stopping you from being strong in the wrong strength. Because when you're anchored to the wrong thing, you can move fast and still be headed in the wrong direction. See, the blindness was the sign because Saul had working eyes, but no real sight. Some of you can see, but you don't have no sight. Hallelujah. That's okay because God's re-anchoring you today. He's resourcing you. He wants to do more than just re-inform you. He wants to re-anchor you. Hallelujah. See, sometimes when you get knocked to the ground, God's knocking you to the ground because he has to unhook you from that old anchor. Not to shame you, but to relocate you sometimes where you live from. Because when your source changes, your direction changes. Hallelujah. See, Jesus doesn't start by fixing behavior. What he starts by is removing Saul's control. Sometimes he has to remove, break us down, kick us down to the ground, knock us to the ground, so we have no more control over what we were doing, of what we want, because as long as Saul is standing on his own certainty, he will keep calling his own direction obedience. If God doesn't knock you down, sometimes you're just going to continue on and say, this is the right way. Because Saul's identity was built on control and being right and forward momentum. Jesus didn't ask him to slow down. He takes him down. So let's be grateful when God knocks us down, hallelujah, because he's trying to stop us from moving in the wrong direction. This is not punishment. This is mercy from a loving God who loves you enough that he doesn't want you to build your identity on something that's not really real. Sometimes identities cannot be redirected while they're still in charge. Hallelujah. Sometimes God allows a moment where your usual grip doesn't work, where your plan that you trusted stops cooperating, the pace that you lived on becomes unsustainable. And the thing that you relied on begins to feel shakier than you thought. And in these moments, it's easy to assume that God is against us. But what God is doing, if you look, he's revealing to you what you've been standing on. He's revealing what you're anchored to. What God is doing is exposing false anchors in your life. Ask yourself, what has God been interrupting in my life lately? Maybe your pace. Maybe your need to be right. Maybe your control over outcomes or your dependence on approval. Because the interruption, I'm telling you, I'll say it again, is mercy. God is not trying to take your life from you. He's trying to take the false anchor out of you. So instead of fighting to regain control in your life, surrender. Let the Holy Spirit re-anchor you from within. Jesus asked a very piercing question. Why are you persecuting me? And that question, what it does is reveals a deeper issue. Saul thought he was serving God, but he was resisting God. And some of you today in here are thinking you're serving God, but you're resisting God. Because we have this idea, as long as I'm doing it for my thoughts, I'm doing it for the Lord, then I'm serving the Lord. But Saul, it's showing us that Saul thought he was serving God, but he was truly resisting God. And I'm not here to beat you guys up today. I'm talking to me first. Don't forget that. But when identity is unanchored, even sincere effort can move in the wrong direction. That passion without surrender becomes opposition to truth. See, God will interrupt your movement before he clarifies your mission. Everybody in here has a purpose and a call from God. Everybody in here has a mission. Everybody in here is a leader. Everybody in here has been given a new name. See, loss of control is the doorway that leads to revelation. See, Jesus will confront your identity issues before he assigns your purpose. Hallelujah. And God is not delaying you. He's dismantling things in your life that are unsafe. Because God loves you too much. I'll say it again. He loves you too much to allow you to move forward in the wrong identity. My third point is losing sight can be part of gaining identity. We'll start at 5 and go into 9. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Saul is blind for 3 days. No sight, no food, no direction, no more reputation, no nothing. He's sitting there blind, couldn't even eat or drink. And see, that might sound like a punishment, but that's reorientation. See, God had to reorient him. See, Saul loses the ability to define himself by his strength. Saul loses the ability to define himself by his certainty of what he believes or the direction which he wants to go. And that's the point. Because as long as those things are holding you up, you can avoid what's underneath. As long as people's approval is holding you up, you can avoid what's really happening underneath. As long as you got the applause of men telling you a good job, you can avoid what's really happening underneath. See, you can stay impressive and be unhealed. You can stay moving and never be changed. See, identity cannot be rebuilt by old definitions and you are still functioning. So God removes Saul's sight so Saul can finally see himself. He had to remove his sight so he could finally see himself. Finally gave him a chance to look inwardly. And I say that's the most courageous thing anybody can do. Is take a journey inward. Stop looking outwardly and take a journey with God inwardly. And let him reveal to you what's really in there. Let him really bring it up to the surface, because God, he wants to sanctify you. God wants to purify you. I'm telling you, God wants to bring it up and he wants to get it out of you. Hallelujah. He wants to remove those false anchors in your life, and he wants to anchor you with the Holy Spirit, one that will keep you going in the right direction, one that will be firm. It's a firm foundation, one that will be strong, one that you'll never have to re-anchor again, because he will be a strong anchor in your life. Amen. See, God was stripping external anchors to expose an internal need. See, some people think silence is abandonment, but stillness is often preparation. That God will strip external anchors so he can establish an internal one. Some of you are uncomfortable in this season because God has quieted things in your life, but he's not absent. I'm here to tell you today that he's anchoring you in this season. That you're in a season right now where the noise is lowered and you feel exposed. That's not rejection. That's God making room. He's making room to rebuild you from the inside out. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, this doesn't have an age limit. This happens all throughout life. It's not dependent upon how long you've been saved or what you've been doing, but it's dependent upon about the relationship that you have with God. Yeah. It's exposing these false anchors. I don't care that you've been a Christian for 25 years. Do you get in that secret place when you're not at church? Yeah. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 35, 40 years. Guess what? When you go home, do you hit your face and get on your knees? Do you worship with your heart, with everything? Do you get there and you sit in his presence? Because if you ain't in his presence, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. See, God reorientates identity in the secret place. And what's he do? He introduces community, the body, to confirm what he's established. Hallelujah. My fourth point is identity is established through God's voice and God's people. We'll start at 10 and go to 18. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. When the Lord calls your name, that's the best response we can have. Stop acting like you didn't hear the Lord. Because what he's trying to tell you to do make you a little uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Trust me. You got to be strong and courageous sometimes. Sometimes you just got to say, here I am, Lord. And guess what? God's going to do the rest of the work for you. You just got to just keep one foot ahead of the next. Keep stepping. Keep going to the next step. And he's going to give you the power for everything that comes in your way. Amen. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight. And Ananias said, Lord, I have heard many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And let me tell you something. God's big enough for your response and questions. Don't think God's not big enough for your response or your questions. When he says to go do something, it's okay, Lord, tell me more, God, tell me more. I give you my yes, God, I'm going to do it, but can you help me out a little bit? God is big enough to handle those questions. Then Ananias, I'll start at 14. And he has authority from chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received the sight, and once he arose and was baptized. Hallelujah. He arose and he was baptized. Hallelujah. I love that, you know. Sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to arise and go get baptized. You know what I'm saying? That's what the people, when we come to the Lord, I'm like, let's tell them what baptism is. Like, I'm not just getting people wet. I want to dung them in and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's something they did. God sends Ananias. God doesn't send applause. He doesn't send public validation. He sends obedience and truth. Hallelujah. And notice what Ananias says to him. Brother Saul. It calls him Brother Saul. That's not just a greeting, that's identity. We are brothers and sisters, hallelujah. See, identity is not only revealed privately with God, it's confirmed relationally with the body. See, God uses his people to speak what we can't yet say over ourselves, hallelujah. That's why it's so important to be a part of the body of Christ. Because sometimes I got to be an encouragement to my brother. Sometimes you're going to have to be an encouragement to your brother or sister. Sometimes you're going to have to speak over them the truth that God told you about them before they can say it about themselves, before they even know it about themselves. We got to ask God to give us sight. Lord, hey, I dare you to pray this prayer. God, give me eyes to see people as you see them, Lord. Give me the boldness to encourage them as you want me to, Lord, because I want to see the goodness of people. I'm tired of looking at brother so-and-so and seeing he's a drunk or he's a drug addict. No, I see a man of God, hallelujah. I see a preacher, hallelujah. I see an evangelist, hallelujah, because underneath that, what the devil has been attacking is something that God has a purpose for. We was all a purpose before we were ever created. And trust me, God knew you before he formed you in the womb. And I'm not letting the layers of the world tell me who you are. Whew. Tell you. Something about being, having identity in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. See, God uses safe, spirit-led community to stabilize what would otherwise stay fragile in your life. Sometimes the way you think about yourself is a little fragile. But your brothers and sisters are here to stabilize those things and remind you about who you are. See, God heals identity in submitted obedience, not isolation. And the Holy Spirit anchors identity through belonging. That's why it's so important to serve. It's so important to serve. Why? It's not because I need you to take the trash out. No, because when you start operating in the body and operating in this house, You feel like you belong. You feel like you're operating. Yep. Yeah. So some of you are trying to heal alone, but you have to let trusted voices speak into who you are becoming. You have to let them confirm what he has already started in you. Hallelujah. My fifth point is when identity is anchored, mission in your life flows naturally. When identity is anchored in the Holy Spirit, mission flows naturally. Start at 19, go to 22. I'm almost done here. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem? And has come here from that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest." But Saul increased all more in strength and confounded the Jews who were dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Saul begins to preach, not to prove himself, but not to rebuild his reputation and not to win applause. But that's because his identity was settled and that's what God told him to do. Do what God tells you to do because he's telling you to do it. Not because you think it looks good, not because you think people like you, not because you think the pastor's going to appreciate it. No, do all things unto the Lord. I don't care what it is. Do it unto the Lord. Hallelujah. See, anchored identity does not strive for other people's approval. It speaks. It operates from assurance. If we go over to Galatians 1, I'm going to try to hurry through. I know we got stuff going down. All right, Galatians 1, 15 through 16. "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again in Damascus." That's the order. See, God placed it, separated him from his mother's womb. It's Christ went in him and then Christ worked through him. Hallelujah. See, identity is internal before it becomes visible. And if we go to Romans 8, I'm kind of speeding through this. Sorry. Romans 8, it's the anchor of text that gathers all this together. 15 or 14 going to 17. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. See, if we are led by the Spirit, then we're sons and daughters. We're adopted. We're not auditioning. You have to understand, you are an heir. You are a son. And you are a daughter of the Most High God. You have to understand there is an inheritance. You are a belonging. You belong because God says so. You don't have to perform. See, identity settled produces obedience without anxiety. Approval loses power when adoption is believed. When you really know you're adopted, it doesn't matter what people think. What God anchors inside cannot be shaken. So stop proving, stop performing, and start agreeing with the Word of God. Start agreeing with the Word of God. Agree with what God calls you. Agree with what the Spirit is saying in you. And let your life flow from an anchored identity in the Holy Spirit and not from insecurity. Hallelujah. In closing, worship team, you guys can come up. Whew. Holy Spirit's preaching when I start getting hot. I know it. Hallelujah. Saul did not become Paul by trying harder. He became Paul when Jesus interrupted him and gave him a new source and a new name. And that's the reason that this story is in the Bible. I believe that God used Saul intentionally. Why? Because he was persecuting those who followed Jesus. He was bounding them up, putting them on trial, and they were being murdered. And he was breathing threats and murder to those who are following Christ. So if you think that your story, if you think what your past, if you think something you've done is too big, it's not intimidating God's grace for you. Hallelujah. God used him because God wants to use you. Hallelujah. And he doesn't want you to allow your past or your identity or what anybody's spoken over you or what you've spoken about yourself to stop you from moving in the kingdom. Doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It matters what God says about you. It doesn't matter about your performance. I would rather you try and fall than never try at all. Because a just man falls 7 times, hallelujah, but he gets back up. It's not about falling down. It's about getting up. So if you think, if even the things you think you spoke over yourself, guess what? If it's not agreeing with God's word, it's not real. It's a lie from the enemy. The word is truth. And then that truth, if we become obedient to that truth, we'll have a new character. God says that we can become a new creation. So don't allow your past to stifle what the future has for you. Be anchored in God's word. Come on. Trust what he says. And if you don't know what he's saying, get in the secret place and listen. Because he's talking. He's always saying something. We have to be anchored from within. No longer letting external pressure. You guys stand to your feet and pray with me. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift you up and we thank you, God, for calling us and giving us a new name. Lord, we thank you, God, for teaching us and showing us, God, who we really are in you. We thank you, God, for Jesus. The atonement, Father. That allows us to be heirs and co-heirs, God, of inheritance of and sons and daughters of who you are, God. And we stand in agreement, God, and say, yes, God, I'm a son, God. Yes, God, you are a daughter of God. Hallelujah, God, we are who you say that we are, Father. Hallelujah. We are a new creation. All the old is gone away, God. Behold what the Lord has for you. Give God your yes and watch what he does. Be strong and courageous. It's not going to be easy. I'm not telling you this walk with God is easy. Most of the time it's not. It's not on purpose. because God wants you to depend upon Him. God wants you to rely on Him. God is a strong, firm tower. He's a firm foundation that you can build your life upon. And if you build your life upon Christ, I promise you will not fail. God will not allow it. Hallelujah. You are sons and daughters. Be encouraged. Be encouraged with the Word of God. Be encouraged with one another. Be an encouragement. Hallelujah. Walk in a confidence of who God says you are. Walk in a boldness of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. Hallelujah. I just speak in a surety of your identity today. I declare identity in who God says that you are. I declare sonship and daughtership over you, that you're heirs and co-heirs. Hallelujah. God, I ask that you would just reveal your purposes unto your people, Lord, that they would have courage, God, to walk forward with you. God, that you would give them the courage that it takes you to seek them, Lord. That you would give them the courage, God, that it takes to be real and honest with you, God, in the secret place. God, and I'm asking, Lord, do something mighty in their lives, God. Do something mighty in their lives, God. Do something incredible, Lord. Something new, God. A fresh zeal, God. A fresh wind in their life today, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. We lift you up. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us an identity anchored in your word, anchored in your spirit, and anchored in your son. We love you, God. We magnify you. We lift you up. In Yeshua's name, amen. If you guys need any prayer or any ministry, altar team, you can come forth. We can pray.